Hey guys, welcome to Tales from a Butterfly podcast. I'm your host, Taria Shondell. Sometimes caterpillar, sometimes butterfly, but always striving to make it through life's many metamorphoses with my faith intact. With this podcast, I hope to encourage anyone that is going through life situations, no matter what they are, that have left you feeling like you will forever be a caterpillar in the cocooning stage, having to continually shed your skin while fighting to get free from any chains that are holding you back from your transformation. I want to tell you, keep your faith in the transformer, believing that just like the butterfly, when you come out, you will be a thing of beauty who is not afraid to fly. So come on, my butterflies, let's fly. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/talesfromabutterfly. Now, guys, with over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, iPad, Kindle, or your MP3 player, you really can't go wrong. Now, I love to read, but with me being on the go up and down the road a lot, sometimes the best thing to do is to download an audiobook and let the audio tell me the story. So go on over to www.audibletrial.com/talesfromabutterfly for your free 30-day trial and download your free audiobook today. You're listening to episode 22 of the Tales from a Butterfly podcast titled Al and Brandy Owens, Developing the Positives from the Negatives They Had to Live Through. And I'm your host, Taria Shondell. So let's get into it. Hey guys, thank you so much for downloading episode 22. Now I am super, 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 super excited to have Al and Brandy Owens as our guests today. I'm saying our because, I mean, y'all are included too. I met them at church at Empowerment Temple, and they are one of the loveliest couples that I know. Al was always smiling, always nice. Brandy, always smiling, always cheerful. They look so beautiful together. And they were just something about them just made you want to talk to them. Very easygoing. I think Al is a Sigma.
Yes.
And
I'm a Zeta.
She's a Zeta. She threw me the sign. I think she threw me the sign. I know I can't throw it back or some. They'll be around the corner to jump me. I know I ain't even supposed to be doing all that. But they are, like I said, they're just they have a beautiful spirit, separate and together. And I'm excited because I had talked to them probably for about a year or so and never knew their story. And it's funny because I'm always one to say that in order to know how to treat people, and handle certain people, you really should try to get to know their story. And one day we started talking, and her story, even though I didn't go through exactly what they went through, her story blessed me and made me take another look at my faith. Like, wow, you know, what am I dealing with? So first I am going to have Mr. Al Owens introduce himself.
Hello, everybody. My name is Alfred Owens. Most people just call me Al. I am, how old am I? 35 today, and I'll be 36 this year, but I am a massage therapist, a licensed massage therapist now for 10 years, and I really enjoy my job, really enjoy being married to my wife now for 6 years. I won't get that wrong, but definitely it's been a great, great ride, and we've been friends first for just... 10 years. 10 years.
Before we got married,
we were married. I mean, we were together as friends for about 4 years.
Five years.
And then we were together for about 5 years. And then we got married. But now we're married for 6 years. So we just knew each other and we developed a relationship. And just, we really grew
with
each other and just developed into such a great relationship. And I love every day with my wife.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Now, I got to jump in here. Wait a minute. Because y'all were friends, then together. How soon was it after you met her, did you know that she was your wife, even if you weren't ready?
And I wasn't ready. Because when I first met her.
Y'all should see Brandy's face right now.
She just looked like she looked like a Care Bear. And it was cute. And she had this little curly top. I said, she looks like Sunshine Bear. I don't know. But I just thought she was really cool, and I just liked to be around her.
Okay.
And talk with her. She was always smiling. She had a little attitude, which I like. You know, I was from New York.
She had a little bit of hood.
A little attitude, yeah. Something. So she had a little edge, so I liked that a lot. But just she was a good friend and someone good to talk to.
Okay.
At the time, I was getting out of a relationship.
We and watched found each out other go through.
She was actually getting out of a relationship as well. We're kind of going through similar situations.
And okay.
So, and our exes named the same name.
The same name.
Star.
A boy and a girl named Star. Mm-hmm. Yep. Y'all both going through breakups at the same time.
So it was kind of, I would say it was meant to be a little
it
bit.
Was meant
so
yeah, it was that. In the stars.
So definitely, I didn't know until about, I would say, I'm going to be really truthful about it. It was probably 3 years after I met her.
Okay.
So, and it's like, I really want her in my life. I don't want to have her gone. It's
okay.
Like, you know, going through what I was going through, I was really held back and drawn. And I didn't want to give my feelings to someone.
Okay.
So it was just like, I didn't know how to do it anymore. So it was just like, when it was a point in time when she was about to be gone.
I was about to say, deuces.
And I was like, hold on. Okay. I had to do something else. So I had to reel myself back in.
Okay.
Because that's not the type of man I was. I'm definitely somebody who was, I'm willing to give myself to someone else. I wanted to be in a relationship.
Okay.
I just didn't know how to be in a relationship.
After going through
the breakup, and I didn't know what to do about it. So,
Wow.
These are serious relationships. Yeah. Like,
I was just going to ask you guys.
Being with somebody, mm-hmm. like, thinking about.
So you both were years with your stuff. Yes. Both were years in with these people. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that happened. I mean, and I had to, it was something I prayed about it. I really prayed hard about it. I said, I don't know what to do, God. Asked for a sign. I was just like, God, I don't know what I should do. I'm going to just keep going with life, and I'm going to let you guide me. And I just started saying the right things, and she stayed, thank God.
And she stayed.
Because we were in Virginia, and homegirl was about to pack up and come to Baltimore. I was like,
now, is that where y'all, well, you introduced yourself, then I'm going to ask you. Okay, I'm going to let y'all, Miss Brandy. Oh, and just so you know, you may hear little Avery in the background. She's a future star. I could see it all over her. Hi, Avery. I wish y'all could see this beautiful baby. Okay, Brandy.
My name is Brandy Owens, and I am, let's see. My real job is an auditor, a medical auditor.
I got scared for a minute. I said, wait, what? An auditor?
No. A medical auditor for orthopedic surgeons. But I don't want to plug that, y'all know. But we have a photo booth company.
Yes,
please. Oh, Snap Pick Me Photo Booth. So if you're having an event, please holler at a sister.
And what's the website and the phone number?
So it's Oh Snap Pick Me. We're working on our website now, but you can reach us by phone 443-992-3741. And guess what? If you say that you heard us on this podcast, we will give you the rate of $400 for a 4-hour event. Okay? So you just have to say that you heard us on this podcast, and we will go ahead and let you get that for $400 for a 4-hour event. That you will not find that price anywhere else. Okay?
No.
Yeah.
And they're really good. And I told them, they sat on my refrigerator for over a year. Their flyer. And I'm not just saying it. They definitely do really good photos, and they do events. So y'all heard that. If you mention that you heard them on the podcast, you will only pay $400 for 4 hours. So you know how many pictures you can get with that. And you know,
it's unlimited, y'all.
Unlimited. And you know how when we start events, sometimes we're late. So you might want them 4 hours because people ain't coming to the second hour anyway. So that would be to your benefit. So, okay. So I said I was going to ask you, where did y'all go to college first?
We went to Virginia State University in Petersburg, Virginia.
So that's why y'all were in Virginia during this. Okay.
But we never saw each other on campus though.
No. So wait, y'all didn't meet in college?
We met in college, but not at college.
I see what you're saying.
He was my manager, y'all. He was my supervisor.
You was messing with.
Yeah, he was fraternizing.
You was fraternizing. That's what I was doing.
It was training.
So we had to keep it like, shh. We ain't dating
each other. Okay. That is so awesome, mm-hmm. though.
We never saw each other. And guess what? The stars got us both the jobs.
Are you serious? Mm-hmm. Get out of here.
That's how God works.
That is just amazing to me that they were both named stars and then they both got you jobs at a place
We were at the Ramada in Petersburg. We were bartenders.
Wow. Yeah.
I was a server, and then I got trained to be a bartender.
Yeah, that was that training.
That was that training.
That is, oh my gosh. Okay, so you were with each other for that time. So you would get ready to throw up the deuces and leave, but then he said some words to keep, he keep, said the
yeah,
right thing.
Because
okay.
You, as a woman, you like, all right, I don't know how much longer I'm going to stay here. Like, first, I think women catch feelings first.
Okay, yeah.
You know, like when I met him, I was like, he's a really nice looking guy. And I used to mess with him all, go ahead with your black self, because y'all, my husband is chocolate, okay? He is dark, special dark chocolate, okay? But I would say, oh my goodness, he's so handsome. And it just, we started talking and realizing that we're going through the same situation.
That is crazy.
It's just, he's a guy, I'm a girl. So it was like, we were going through the same thing. And then we just started hanging out with each other and just being there, being a friend to each other. And then I was sitting there like, I think I am catching feelings for this guy, but I don't know if I really want to say nothing. Because y'all know, everybody can't go past the friend boundary. And that was the hard part. Cause I'm like, because if this doesn't work, we probably can't still.
You won't
be able
to go back.
I don't believe you can go back.
It amazes me for people that can go back. It's like, you must have just tried to date and not really have feelings.
Yeah.
Because
so I was like, you know, I don't know if I really want to risk losing an excellent friend, because he's an excellent friend. Like, he's my best friend. Like, before we were married, before we were dating, if I had a problem, I could call him. Like, when you're in Virginia, after I graduated, it wasn't anybody down there for me. So he bet me that I couldn't cut the grass. Because he had his house, I had mine. So he was like, you are not going to cut the grass. Y'all, I tried to cut the grass. A rock came up, hit me in my nose. Y'all know I went and find the first landscaping company. I was like, see, I did cut this grass. But like, if I needed something.
He was there.
Even when my ex acted stupid.
Wow.
My ex acted so stupid. We had to call the police. You know what he said? He said, pack your stuff. You're moving in with me.
And this was just when y'all were friends. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And at that time, it was just a friendship, and I didn't know that we weren't even intimate by then. We weren't.
So it was just instinctual her. Like, you wanted to protect her even then. So now, would you say that that's the type of man that he is in general? Because I'm going to say, for me, y'all, I rolled up here and my car started running hot, and he looked back and he was right over there with their neighbor, you know, and put the antifreeze in and everything. So it seems to me that you're that type of person anyway. But is that just his instinct to help?
That's his instinct to help. And that's just the type of guy he is. Like, he will give somebody the shirt off in his back.
Well, I like that made, and I like that color too. I'm not a Sigma or nothing, but I'm throwing it out there. The shirt off is, I like that.
He will. Okay. That's the type of guy. That's just the type of guy he is. Like, it was nothing that I could say. I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm so hungry. I look up, here he come walking in the door with food. Like, that's just the type of guy he was. Everybody was like, y'all sure y'all not dating? I was like,
So other people, other people saw it between you two before you guys did, or you kind of knew, but you just weren't saying anything.
We kind of knew, but we really couldn't say anything.
Okay.
And so, I mean, we used to play games at work. Like, all right, you see how many numbers you can get. I see how many numbers I can get.
I think y'all told me that. Okay, all right.
Because as a bartender, a girl don't want me to wait on them. And as a guy don't want him to work on him. So we used to talk about it.
Okay, so who would win most of the time? You? I was going to say it.
There's no contest.
You know, you got to be a little flirt when you're a bartender.
Yes,
you know,
and she's a beautiful woman, y'all. So of course she definitely would win. All right, so now let's fast forward. You propose and you guys are married. But actually, let me backtrack just for a second. You said that before he had kind of made it official, you were thinking you weren't going to stick around. So you seem young. How old were you when you had those thoughts? Like 20? Well, how old were you when you graduated college?
It was 2006.
So about 11 years ago. So about like 23?
Yes, 23.
Okay, so that's young. So you, and I got married at 24. So
my goal was 25.
And I was just going to say, were you already geared? You know how sometimes people are like, I'm a wild out and do whatever. Or were you geared towards?
I always was a relationship type of girl.
Okay.
I never was the girl that had a lot of girlfriends. Oh, I'm going to Miami. I'm doing this. I'm doing that.
Okay.
I always was a relationship type of person because my mom and dad met and married each other in 6 months and are still married to this day. So I've always seen marriages and relationships. So I didn't know what it was like to not be in a relationship.
Okay. Okay. Wow. 6 months.
6 months.
And
mama. You
and they're still together. They're and still you've married. Had that. Wow. Okay. So now what about you? I know with your ex, it hurt because obviously you were on that path. But is that something that was a goal for you to be married and have a family?
It was. And my parents were at that time, they were still married as well. And that's okay. all I came from.
Okay.
Families, big families.
Okay.
Marriage. Just a lot of good camaraderie between families. Okay. And it was just like, that's what I want. I'm not a player. I don't like that. I always got that label as being a player. I got it from her father, actually.
Really?
Oh, my father said he is a player.
Really?
Don't trust him.
Now, do you think it's because, he is a handsome gentleman, and I find that if you find a pretty woman or a handsome man, people will tend to kind of label them just because of how they look, or maybe he talks smooth, or maybe they...
Honestly, I believe in the situation with me and my ex, I was the one who separated myself emotionally from him.
Okay.
So I'm already emotionally detached. It don't take... Women, we have to emotionally attach before we go.
And once it's done...
It's done.
Yeah.
But see, my parents, were... Him. They didn't.
They were
know
still
about
attached.
Him.
Okay.
Because I'm a private person, so I don't. They didn't know.
Okay.
They didn't know I was broke up from him for a year
before left.
Before they even knew that we weren't together, so they still calling. Hey,
oh, so you were really broke up for a year? Wow.
Like, hey, how you doing? So he's telling them, oh, it's this guy. I think she's dating this guy. So they call him a snake in the grass.
Because okay.
Not knowing.
I'm coming into hostiles. Territory.
I don't.
Hostile takeover.
I was like, oh, man, okay.
Only person that was in his corner was my sister.
Well, how old is your sister?
My sister is 13 years older than me. My sister is 40. How old am I? I'm 32. I'm 13 so 45.
Wow. So she was. So you had it. You had one alliance at least.
I had one.
Wow.
Just one. And now, don't talk about her son-in-law. Don't talk about her son-in-law.
Wow.
Don't talk about her son-in-law.
But it's about being persistent.
Okay. And probably
being
her seeing.
The person that I am. I'm not going to be fake. I know I wasn't the type of person that they thought I was.
Okay.
So continually just being myself, they saw that. So I'm like, hey, I'm not that.
Now, were there times that it ever got frustrating for you? Because I know sometimes it's like you want the approval of the family, but if you're constantly running into roadblocks, sometimes that can make you say, you know what? I love you, but this is just too much. Was there times when you felt like it caused friction between y'all two?
No. You know, us being in Virginia had a lot.
Okay.
Because we weren't here.
Okay.
We weren't here. So we didn't have that, that friction because we were away from it. I mean, we moved into when we really got together, we said, all right, we're going to get rid of the stuff that we have separate. And if we're going to do this, we're going to get something together. Y'all, we was in there for a month. And I looked at him. I said, I'm ready to go home. And we packed up and left.
And came back to Baltimore. Well, you were from New York.
I was from New York. But I'd already had friends that lived in Maryland.
Okay.
So I wasn't opposed to moving to Maryland. I was like, it's fine.
Wow.
It's actually a better living situation for me because coming from New York, I'm about fast-paced living.
I'm from Jersey, so.
And so, yeah, you get that. You understand? So, I need that. I need that hustle and bustle.
Me too. I feel like I get my energy from that. It's like.
You do. And it's closer than all of that than Virginia was. Virginia was very slow. And so I was ready to go. Let's get out of here. So I was
working.
Wow. Yeah, we still had to rent that place for a year. Here. No, we lost.
So y'all were here.
I mean, we new living room set, dining room set, bedroom set. I think we took clothes and that was it.
Yeah. And y'all just can't. Wow. Now, was it because you missed your family or was it because?
Well, she missed her family. She's very close to her family.
Okay. Very close-knit family. Okay. Y'all, I go to my grandfather's house every Sunday. Okay. My grandfather is 93 years old. Still lives by himself. Still cooks dinner every Sunday. And I'm not talking about a little throwing the microwave. I mean, fried chicken, macaroni and cheese, collard greens.
93.
And guess what, y'all? Y'all know old people bake a cake every Sunday. Cakes, pies.
See, now that's what I want my 93 to look like. I said, Lord, if you let me live that long, let my stuff look like I'm 30 or 40. And that is amazing.
He will run circles around some.
That was him in the picture with your daughter? With the Mickey Mouse?
No, that was my dad.
Okay, okay. I was getting ready to say, wait a minute.
But my grandfather don't look 93, and he would still be driving if somebody didn't hit his parked car.
Wow, okay. So now you have your grandparents living, or?
No, they're all deceased. All four of them are deceased. So I don't have that honor to really, really grow up with them and have them see my children. But just being around her grandparents.
That's what I was going to say. Okay.
I embrace them as my own, of course. Because they just remind me of having my grandparents. And that was just great for me.
Well, y'all seem like I'm just sitting here looking at y'all. Like, even talking to y'all at church, y'all just fit. You know how some things it's just like, okay, yeah, God, yeah, it's definitely you all up in it. Mm-hmm. All right, so now let's fast forward to you move up here, you're married, and then you both wanted marriage and a family. So how long was it after you got married that you decided, you know what, let's have children?
It was like, we didn't even think about waiting.
Right. It was right away.
That was something that we always said we both wanted was a child.
The fact that we were, and this doesn't mean anything, but we were, I say, up in age.
Okay.
We did everything. We didn't own each other for 10 years. It wasn't nothing else to get to know.
It was like, right. Let's just.
We didn't travel together. Okay. We've done a lot, and it was like, okay.
Let's have a.
We're not trying was our motto. Are you trying? No, we're not trying.
We're not trying, but we're not trying. Focused on like, if it not, happens, it
if
happens.
If it happens, it happens.
Okay.
And it went on for about, a year? I say like a year.
Yeah, about a year.
About a year. And I was like, I don't understand. What's going on?
Okay.
Like everybody around you is popping babies like it's nothing.
Your friends and everything?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Like Skittles.
And by accident, like, oh, it just happened.
Okay. And you guys are like, we're married, we're stable, and you're trying to. So at what point did you sit down and decide, you know what, we really might have a issue?
I think we waited till it was like going on 2 years, but then out of nowhere, I started getting this pain.
Okay.
And it was an indescribable pain, like I was doubled over in pain.
In your abdomen.
Yeah, in my abdomen. And so we went to the doctor, and they were like, well, we think you have appendicitis, and you got to go get this and go get that. And they came back, and they're like, no, it's not that. We think it's a GY problem. So I'm like, what? So then I go like pelvic sonogram after pelvic sonogram. It was always, well, we think you have. Well, I'm not sure. I mean, I went to the doctors one time because the pain would come sporadically. Like,
okay.
I could literally be sitting at the dinner table and it would just hit me. Like, we were out with my friends. We had a good time. And I was like, I ain't going to be able to make it.
Could you feel it coming on slowly, or did it just?
No, it just was okay. Like, bam, it just hit you. And they're like, well, we think you may have endometriosis, and we think you may have, and I can put you on this medicine, but it's going to make you feel like.
So wait a minute. They would say what we think you have, but we're not going to really find out if you have it. We're just going to give you medicine and hope that's the.
Right.
Yeah, and the medicine that we put you on, it's going to make you feel like you're going through menopause.
But you want a baby.
I want a baby. And I said, well, doesn't that defeat the purpose?
Right.
And this was when we had, my doctor is an excellent doctor, Dr. Dyer from GBMC, but his job had Kaiser.
Okay.
You know, you got to go to Kaiser.
When you have.
Facilities, when you have Kaiser.
My girlfriend works for Kaiser,
else is out of network.
Right.
So I'm like, I really need to get back to him. So we kind of like, I said, well, look, until we get different healthcare, I can't fool with them because it's too much. I think, I don't know.
Okay.
I mean. Every month I had this pain,
And they couldn't tell
you. And they couldn't tell me what it was. So the frustration of, I don't know. And I'm like, God, come on. I'm 27. Like, my, you know, your goal, women, we set goals.
Okay.
I wanted married by 25, baby by 27. And I'm like, you know, I'm 27. And I'm going to be out my goal. And so now I'm feeling like a failure.
Well, I was going to ask you, you just said you had the pain. Then you were like, God, you know, I want babies. So did you automatically kind of feel like it was related? Because for you to have that thought,
mm-hmm.
like, I have this pain. Oh, God, you know, I want kids.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, something's not right. We've okay. been trying.
Okay.
Something's not right. And they can't tell me what it, I mean, I was so tired of being poked. Pride. Okay, we're going to do this sonogram. You got to drink 32 ounces of water. And we're gonna, don't go to the bathroom, but we're backed up. So you have to sit with a full bladder. Like,
all that kind of craziness.
We went through that craziness over and over and over again. So it was just, it was very frustrating. It was frustrating not knowing what the problem was. And still, I mean, we had pelvic ultrasound before my cycle. Oh, we're going to do the pelvic ultrasound while you're ovulating to see if it's an ovulation issue. We're going to do it after your cycle. We're going to do it during your cycle.
So you basically were getting something every week then, because that's the whole month.
Mm-hmm. Because they wanted to find out when the pain was going to come. So when I had the pain, I literally slept on the couch in an upright position, because that's what was comfortable.
Now, how did Al, as her husband, seeing her go through this, my first question was, did you think it could be related to fertility? And two, how did you immediately know she was in pain? Not that she was making it up, but if she's saying she's in pain, you see she's in pain, but then you're going to all these doctors who you think no, but they can't find anything. So how did you handle that, especially if it's coming every month, and if she's getting exams basically every week? Like, how did that affect you?
It affected me in just in a negative way, just because I didn't know how to help her.
Okay.
I didn't know how to comfort her. I didn't know how to make it better. I believe, just being a man, you want to, you know, comfort your wife. You want to make sure that you know your woman. You just want to make sure that you take care of your woman.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, this is like way out of my territory. I don't know what to do. Her being, you know, having infertility problems was like the last thing on my mind.
Okay, that's the last thing you thought.
Yeah, I was like, I wasn't thinking about that. She was in so much pain. It's like, I don't know what to do. I'm a massage therapist, so I'm trying to massage her.
Okay.
And I'm like, that's a pain that I can't get to. I can't help that.
Wow.
It's so internal. And
And if I say I'm in pain because I have a very high tolerance for pain. And it would double me over. Like, I was in a fetal position.
Now, how long would it last? Days, hours? Like, how?
It was sporadic.
Sometimes it would last for 3 days. Sometimes mm-hmm. it would last for a week.
That's like at that high level.
And mind you, I still go to work like this.
Wow.
I'm literally in my chair, balled over, and I'm like, can somebody just get that off the printer? I can't even.
Wow.
800 milligram Motrin wasn't helping.
And I just thought about what you said, Al. Here you are, a massage therapist, so we know, like, I just got a massage for my birthday, and she hit some points to the point of almost pain, but like, once she hit it, I felt, and I'm holding my breath and she's breathing. And then she's like, no, don't hold your breath. Let it go. Yeah. Cause I'm like, and then I'm like I'm having a baby. But so it never dawned on me that, yeah, as a massage therapist, your thinking is, I got to get to this pain, but you couldn't even get to it. Wow. So how long did it go on that you were having this pain until somebody said, we know what it is?
It was a.
They really never said this. And
we went to back to doc. We got back to our regular insurance. Mm-hmm. His job switched back over to CareFirst.
Okay,
and we went back to Dr. Dyer, and Dr. Dyer said, "Hold up, something's not right."
Now, based off of just a regular exam?
Just off a regular exam and me telling him everything I had been through. He was like, they didn't send you for a dye test. They didn't send you for this. He said, no, we're going to do a laparoscopy.
Yeah, but okay.
Where they go in and they look and see if anything's going on. And I've never had no kind of, no broken bones, no hospitals. So y'all know I'm petrified.
Right, because all this is new to you.
Yeah, it's very new.
But you just said something that as far as women listening and even as far as just health-wise, you have got to fight for...
You have to be an advocate for yourself because they are not going to advocate for you. They want to pump you with medicine and they want to... You have to say no.
And you're allowed to say no.
And you're allowed to say no. Like, no. Honestly, I didn't advocate for myself the way I should have.
Okay.
I should have said, no, we need another test. I don't know what you need to do. If you need this CAT scan, MRI.
Okay.
Like, you have to stay on top of them because you are responsible for your own health.
Okay.
And it didn't matter what I should have said, no, something's not right. I'm 27 and y'all telling me y'all can't figure out with all them PhD, all them letters behind y'all name.
You're right.
Somebody can't tell me why I am 27 years old and I'm having this pain as if I'm about to die. Like tears in my eyes falling.
And you dealt with it for a year. And
I dealt with it for three
years. For 3 years.
Right. 3 years.
Okay. Wow. Okay, so I'm sorry not to cut you off, but I just wanted to put that out there to women, men listening. We definitely need to be an advocate for our health. And like Al and Brandy said, it's okay to say no to these drugs that they want to pump you full of. So then you get back to your doctor and she says that they didn't send you for this test.
So he sent this he said, well, before we even do the dye test, I want to go ahead and do the laparoscopy. So we go and my doctor, he's from Syria. So I'm going to say I believe that he's Muslim.
Okay.
But he looked at me and he comes in the room and I'm like, I'm probably like white because I'm like petrified. He looked at me. He said, I got you. I ain't going to let nothing happen to you. And everything went well. And he said, you have a little blockage on, was it the left?
Yeah.
On the left.
Okay.
And that's where the pain was coming from. So he said, well, you're not in the pain right now, but I believe every time you have that pain, they are cysts. And every time they rupture, this is the pain that you're feeling.
Wow.
So why did it take
3 years?
Yeah.
3 years.
For somebody to,
Wow. And at Kaiser, before they even did any dye tests, they're saying, you're not going to have no kids.
Wait a minute. Now that based off of just you having pain, they're saying this? Or what are they basing?
The pain saying, I think you have endometriosis and it's going to be a problem for you to have kids. We don't think you're going to be able to have children.
So at this point, did you guys believe in God, have relationship with God and all of that, right?
Yes. But you still, even though you have a relationship with him, you still have doubt.
And that's what I was going to ask you. Okay.
Then we had to sit and talk to each other like, I can't say I believe, but I have no faith. Because here it is. I'm listening to them and I'm like, you know what? I need to get out my own head.
Okay.
But it still was. I don't know. I think we were so tired of being disappointed.
Okay.
Because it was times that we were like, okay, we didn't have it, my cycle didn't come. Okay, we're excited.
Okay.
Now, mind you, no one in my family knew about any of this.
Wow. The you only did say you were private. Okay.
That knew about this was the person that's sitting here with me, my husband.
Wow. What made you guys decide not to share that?
Well, everybody has an opinion, and then everybody likes to be, I would say, in your business.
Okay.
But everybody wants to tell you what to do. Everyone wants to say, okay, this has been my experience with this, or this is what you should do. This is what you should do.
Or even hearing y'all just got married. You might need to take some time and do travel. You might want to do this. You might want to do that. So I didn't feel like hearing that. So I
wow.
Instead of me, so I just decided to keep it. I mean, I didn't even tell my best friend.
Wow. So when it truly was just between the two of y'all.
Mm-hmm. It was truly between the two of us. And this one time, mm-hmm. we were really excited. After the laboratory, whatever, we were really excited because I stopped having the pain.
Okay.
And we were really excited. Like, I mean, like, I was like a month and a half. Yeah, it was really like my cycle. And we both just forgot about it. He was like, they ain't come on yet. And I was like,
oh. That's funny how men do. Like, he said he was tracking it.
And I was like, going on. And I was like, no, I didn't. And he was like, oh, okay. But we never, but because of the disappointment we had, I never would take a test.
Yeah, I guess fear started to grow.
Fear okay. of.
Because y'all know that's the longest 3 minutes waiting for them lies to pop up. They lie.
Yeah.
That's like eternity.
So I didn't want to press it. I didn't want to say, okay, let's take a test. I didn't want to get excited.
But you said fear. That was interesting. So fear, it started to grow. And wow.
Because fear is not a natural thing that you're born with. Fear is grown. Fear is learned. It's just like something that is built in you. Not something that you... is a natural thing. We are like not born with fear.
That makes sense.
No, you are. You're born with two. You're born with the fear. Y'all can look it up. You are born with the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. Y'all can Google it. I'm telling y'all.
Okay,
Google
so
it.
Like if a baby.
See, for babies.
I was thinking in terms of when he said fear, you'll have babies that'll just walk up to a dog or walk up to a stranger and there's no fear.
Right.
It's no fear because they weren't taught to fear it.
Well, and that's what.
But now we were taught to fear it because of the, I don't know what y'all have. I don't know what it could be. So now it's like,
okay,
it started off small and now we just keep growing
and growing. Okay. And
so our faith that was here, that was high is now dying.
And the fear is taking over.
And the fear is taking over.
Wow. Okay.
So we had to look at each other and we started saying a prayer every day about fertility.
Wow.
Just praying that one day I would, you know, be able to carry a child. And
okay.
And we said a prayer every morning. I mean, it was like, it was.
It just became routine after a while.
And it was that one day and we was like, you know what? We're really, you know, we're not going to say anything. And we got to my grandfather's. Told y'all we go to my grandfather's every Sunday. So it was on a Sunday, and we got to my grandfather's, and I went upstairs, and I came down, and he saw that I had a look in my eye, and he looked at me, and I was like, I just shook my head, and that just happened to be a day that my family wanted to be like.
So wait, so you had your cycle then had came on. Okay. And you found out at your grandfather, and your family's there.
And my family's there. So my emotions are already kind of like all over the place because now I'm disappointed.
Okay.
But now I got to like brush it off because I don't want them to know.
Okay.
And of course, somebody looks at us because we done been married now for 3 years.
Okay.
And they're looking like, so we are going to have a baby.
Oh, wow.
And that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And the tears just started falling. And they're looking at us like, well, what did I say? Wow. And then we told them the situation. So for women that are out here that are going through this situation, don't be like me. Share it with somebody.
Wow.
So that way, when you're going through this and you have somebody that's saying, well, when y'all going to have a baby, you have a barrier between you guys.
Okay.
So if I would have told my sister could have been like, oh, y'all know, they're going to have one in their time.
I see what you're saying.
So it's a block. And
somebody to take the defense for you because they already know that you're weakened in the situation.
In that area. Yeah. Okay. Oh, wow.
So it's somebody there that you can, you know, can be kind of your shield. Like, he's hurting because he knows what just occurred. But I should have said something to somebody else because, yes, he's my husband, but he's not a woman.
Okay.
So he doesn't know how I feel. He only can go off of how I'm telling him I feel.
And how he sees
how I feel. Now, My sister could have went through the same thing. My best friend could have went through the same thing. My mother could have went through the same thing. Wow. My mother had experienced pain because she lost my brother at 9 months. My mother delivered my brother. He was a stillborn. His name was Brandon. I'm named after him. So if I would have shared that with my mother could have possibly given me insight to how she felt losing a child.
Okay.
So don't be afraid to share because you think you're going through it by yourself. Because when we went to Shady Grove, there were a ton of women from all nationalities, all ages, and we were just going to an open house. And you always feel like
now, what is Shady Grove?
Shady Grove is a fertility clinic.
Okay, okay,
and they.
That's where the young lady that I met at the gym, that's where she's going.
And they were amazing. And they answered all your questions. Great. And when you look around in the room and you're saying, oh, so I'm not the only one going through this. Because infertility is not talked about because you don't know how someone feels.
Okay.
And women, we need to learn how to, I'm not saying you need to push your feelings to the side, but when you talk about it, I feel like you get over like that fear of crying and thinking you're the only one going through it by yourself, because it's hard. It's hard because you're looking at everybody that has children around you and you want what they have. You want to experience that first day of school. You want to experience baby's first Christmas. You want to say, oh, my baby's going to be X, Y, and Z for Halloween. Or I'm planning her first birthday. Like, all my friends have kids. I never got to go to the birthday parties. Like, Avery is the youngest one of all of them.
All the bunch.
So, it was hard. It was, like, the first day of school, I think for 3 years, I think I cried.
Really?
Yeah.
And my wife is very, very giving. She has a huge heart. It's the hardest part, as big as her head. And it's just...
He's trying to come for me a little bit.
She sees this.
Shady boots.
It's just a big heart. So she puts it out there, and she will do anything for anyone. And she loves children. She loves to do things for people. And,
projects. I'm the project master. You got the project. Holla at me.
And she likes to do things. And, you know, people would ask her to do things for her children or just... But she would want to do it because that's just how she is.
Okay.
And but she would do it.
And then I would come home and I'd be
and
in
then
tears.
She would come home and she would be in tears.
And you would have to be her strength.
Yes, yes. Mm. And she has a strength about her that is very quiet. And I think a lot of women actually do have that type of strength.
Okay.
And they just know how to be strong. And that's something men really don't have so much of. Our emotions are, we wear it really well. We have to, you know.
Okay. And,
so we don't really express as much as a woman would. And she knows how to really
hide it
and be strong with it.
Wow.
But the fact that I've known her for so long, I can see it, and I know when she is feeling at her weak. And we also kind of bounce off each other like that. And she'll hold me up when I need it, and I'll hold her up when she needs it. And I saw it a lot more that I needed to hold her up.
Okay.
Even though I was down because of the situation, I knew that she needed it more than I did because she was the one that had the carry. She's the vessel, you know, that is in our minds, not functioning well.
Got you.
That's she took it harder than I guess I would, because she's the one that has to carry the baby.
And it's almost like your body is looking for it now. Like, okay.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And going back to when we went to Shady Grove, I was so surprised to see so many men, you know, there. And I thought I was going to be the only one.
Wow.
So it was so many.
Because he was like, you want me to go? I want to go with you, but men can come too.
Wow. Okay.
So everything was new, but it was just great to see that because, you know, women need that support system and they need somebody to just lean on. Or
that's good.
You know, and I was definitely going to be there for her no matter what.
What you said. You made a distinction. It's men and women doing the same thing, but men are almost born with having to be
strong,
tough and strong. But a woman can sometimes force herself to shut off her emotions so that she doesn't kind of go into an emotional overload. So it sounds like you both were being strong, but you were just shutting your emotions off, like, intentionally, because you didn't want to break. Mm-hmm. But he saw that. Well, so when you said you were at Shady Grave and you saw men, that also speaks to the men out there, because just like women need somebody to talk to going through this, I'm sure husbands probably need somebody to talk to, because how did that make you feel as her husband, seeing her disappointed in every month and then you being disappointed? Like, as a man, what would your advice be to a husband or a man whose woman is going through this process?
My advice would be honest, but be caring.
Okay.
You have to be honest, but you have to be also know that this woman is, she trusts you. She trusts you with her feelings. She trusts you with acting the way she is in front of you. She's expressing herself, but you have to be honest, but you also have to be there for her. You have to be there for her to cry on, lean on. You have to be there to, you know, hold her up, stand next to her. Don't stand behind her or in front of her. You got to stand right beside her to hold her up. Throw her arm over your shoulder and you hold her up and we keep moving. Guys, just be there for your woman. Whatever that means, you know, if you have to dial back, you don't be so, judgmental. Don't say things that you would normally say if, you know, she's being a little more sensitive.
Okay.
But, you know, just try to, you dial back and, your woman will appreciate it. She will. And, she most likely she'll see that you're doing that. If she's not, then maybe she needs to be a little more honest as well.
Wow. But, okay.
With you, I mean, because definitely if she's not reciprocating that type of that kindness to you, you know, you, sometimes the woman is thinking that she's the only one going through things, and man is actually really going through things because we don't really express ourselves the way a woman can. And it's different. My wife will say all the time that I don't talk to her. I don't express myself to her.
You don't talk. Men don't talk. They don't talk, y'all.
I say that to my wife.
We do it in different ways.
And I be looking at him like, what's wrong? You all right?
Sometimes we just thinking about a lot. We just got things going on.
Oh my gosh, that's what my husband says.
We just work it out. We like to work it out for ourselves. Mm-hmm. We don't like to express our feelings. We don't like to sit in a chair and speak about our feelings and have somebody
work
it out.
He said that all nice and proper.
About our feelings.
Yeah, no, we want to work things out. And, you know, as a man, we think that we don't need help with that. But if we're in a marriage, you should be talking to your wife. You should be speaking and you should be working things out together.
Okay.
And it does help.
Okay.
I think guys don't want to feel like they don't want their wife to see that they're vulnerable.
And that's what I was thinking, because a man always, he was there to protect you when you were friends, when you were dating, now that you're married. So it's almost like if I'm looking for Superman to rescue me, Superman is not going to tell me his weakness because he may think I don't look at him as Superman anymore. When really, as a woman, we're like, if you tell me your weakness, I'm looking at you as Superman because you're strong enough to tell me. So it's great how you said about communicating and being honest in your feelings. Now, when your family, when you told them this and then you guys start, was going to Shady Grove, was there a point when they started offering opinions maybe? And you kind of maybe regretted saying, or was it more of a support? Like they were there for your support, like your support system.
At first,
system.
It was all opinions. Yeah. Okay. A lot of that. You should do this.
Well, y'all just need to wait and wait. Just wait for God.
Yeah.
Just wait on God. God said, you know, everybody will put God. Just God said.
Right. And it's like, but we still have to be active.
To him yet. Y'all, yeah. We just told y'all how y'all, he ain't tell y'all that death is. I know he fast. I know he there on time.
But he didn't tell y'all that.
Just now. Right. Y'all need to, because everything happens in God's time. And yes, everything do happen in God's time, but sometimes I ain't want to hear that. That's right. Not what I needed to hear.
At that time, and I
at
was going to say.
At that time, that's not what I needed to hear. I didn't really need to hear anything. I didn't want to hear anything.
Why? But I support you, and that's it.
That's all. Yep. Sometimes silence is better.
So, it's interesting that you say that, because I feel like if you came to me and told me that y'all are in that situation now, it would almost be like I'd be thinking, like asking the Lord, what can I say to them? What can I say to them? But y'all may not even be looking for that.
We just wanted a hug.
Okay. Okay.
Just love on me a little bit.
That's a note for me then.
Let me snot up your shoulder real fast.
Okay.
Let me cry it out. And you say, you know what? We're going to get through this. That's all I needed. Because okay. I had my spiritual guidance through my husband.
Okay.
Being there, oh, no, this morning we're going to pray.
And that's what I was going to, you just, listen, it's like you took the question out of my head, because when he was talking about being there as a husband, I was going to ask him, were there times that he himself just laid his hands on you and prayed over you when you didn't have the strength to pray?
Mm-hmm. All the time. That's just how it worked. She wouldn't sense that I was getting weaker or something was going on. Or she'll see that I was either talking a certain way or I was okay. being short. Or I was looking a certain way and I didn't see myself. She's like, okay. What's wrong? And something was going on and I'm not even realizing my face is turned upside down. And she would send me a prayer. I'll be at work. She'll send me a prayer, a text message prayer or something like
wow.
that. She won't even talk okay. to me. It was just something that you don't have to speak. It could be a look. She sent me a text message with a prayer and I read that. And I would just, I probably won't even text her back for maybe another hour.
Okay. But
I needed that. To just process, and then I would get back. And I would text her. I was like, thank you so much for that. And I love you so much. Wow. And something like that, something very small.
Okay.
So it, big.
So small. Because I wake up, and I'm like, why are you looking at me like that? Like, he just looking at me sleep.
And
I'm
you
like,
didn't dig on. You just kind of became silent yeah. because you knew. And that speaks to your faith, I think, because in the midst of y'all going through that, and sometimes, like, we're human, so we have doubts. But at the same time, you were still in tune with God enough to be able to know something was wrong with him. Something is wrong with her. So it's almost like, yeah, God, I'm wondering, like, is this going to work out? But yet I know you're the strength. My help comes from above. Mm-hmm. So that's beautiful. Wow. Like I said, y'all, I told y'all, they just fit. Sitting there, seeing them in front of me, they just fit.
And so, we look like yin and yang, too, because I'm light.
And the baby is the perfect mixture of them, y'all. So, all right. So let me ask you this. So. You go to Shady Grove. What year is this into when you're trying to? Because you went 3 years before you had even got back to.
So this was in the fourth year. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? I think I hear God talking to me. We ain't going to go to Shady Grove no more.
At this time, my faith got so strong.
Because when you're going through this, yeah. it's either going to do one or two things to your marriage. You either going to get real, real close or you going to go further apart because you're not being honest with one another.
Okay.
But because we have been so honest with one another, it made us stronger. It kind of put us together. So we said, you know what? We're not going to go to Shady Grove no more. We're going to step out on faith on this. And we actually had my sister's friend. She called us and said, my niece is pregnant and she's not going to keep the baby.
Wow.
And I said, well, I talked to him and I said, you know, how do you feel about adopting?
Okay.
And he was like, well, that wouldn't be my first thing. And I said, okay. I said, but how do you feel about it? I said,
okay.
Because there are kids out here that need parents.
Okay.
And maybe that is how I'm meant to be a mother.
Okay.
So he finally said, you know what?
You know, and I'm going to cut you off. My views on adoption were not negative.
Okay.
It went back to the masculinity part.
Okay.
To me,
okay.
having to adopt was saying that we gave up. We failed on conceiving a child. And I couldn't accept it fully. I was going to do it. It took a while for me to really hold on to, okay, we're going to adopt and we're going to do it.
Wow.
And I didn't know how to say it to her at that time when she first brought it to me.
Okay.
But it took me a while. I had to pray and I was like, okay, yeah, I think we'll do this. We'll do this. But it really hit me when she said that. I was like, I think we're giving up. And
that's an interesting thing to hear from a man yeah. that you felt like as a man, it was a fail, even like you're giving up. Mm-hmm. Like, wow. Okay.
I said, I think she's done. And my mom's like, I think she's done. It's actually done now. She's emotionally cut off from feeling that feeling anymore. She doesn't want that. She said, okay, but I wanted to be a mother. If I could be a mother somehow,
so
way,
I settled.
Right.
I was going
to
settle.
It's like, and I knew she was. And I was like,
wow, okay.
I can't force her to not do this. you know, not to settle. Okay. Not to be.
Because you knew she wanted to be a mom.
Right.
Okay.
So.
Man.
That's my wife. So I have to support that. And I had to grow around it. And I was like, okay, I can do this. And.
Wow.
And I just looked at it as helping somebody.
And there goes her heart.
The helping thing. Because okay.
And helping. And we both like to help, but her heart is huge. So I know that she wanted to help these people. And I'm all about helping people as well.
Okay.
But in the back of my mind, it was like,
that is such
my masculinity was like, oh man, I think we failed.
I've never heard that's that like from a man. This is why I'm so glad that you're here. So people can hear from a man, you know, women can hear from a male's perspective, because fortunately you were sensitive, but there may be some women who don't feel like their husbands are going through what they're going through, because you're both going through it. Even though it's your body, if you're the two become one, he's experiencing it too. So, wow, that was good. Okay, so he agreed.
He agreed.
Man,
So, I mean, the girl, she had just found out, maybe 3 months. She was like 3 months.
So it was in the beginning.
So she was very excited, and we always say, you know, just be open and honest with us. I mean, we were going to get a sonogram and going lunch.
With her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Going to dinner, and I don't think I'm going to be able to pay my rent. And
you guys doing that, okay.
Well, because she's the vessel of this child that, you know, that we're going to adopt. And
in our minds, okay, this is the child that we have been waiting for.
Okay, okay.
And this is what God actually planned. You know, this is what we were trying to do.
Accepting.
Okay.
Say, okay, since we couldn't conceive, this is this is what God has for us. So we were going to be accepting of that because this is God we were talking about.
But let me ask y'all something, because it just dawned on me. So jumping back a little bit, well, you just said that because you couldn't conceive, y'all thought that that was the plan that God had for you. Mm-hmm. But after Kaiser told you you wouldn't be able to have kids, then you did the testing with your doctor. The pain stopped. But did she say then you weren't going to be able to have kids, or you just weren't getting pregnant?
We just weren't getting pregnant. Never said we couldn't. We just weren't.
So then that's even kind of more pressure, because
and it's like a mystery.
Okay.
And so he's like, well, and so right before when we stopped, he was like, well, here's I want y'all to both get tested, because I'm thinking it's me.
Okay,
it's me. I'm just taking the blame. It's me. I know it's me. And the one thing you want to give your husband is a child, because his name can't go anywhere if we don't have a child.
Mm.
The name stops here.
Right.
For him. His legacy is no more. So I'm like, you know, I just don't.
Wow.
And I think I was tired.
Okay.
I got tired.
Like you were fighting almost.
I felt like I was fighting in a ring by myself. I was tired. I was tired of going to the doctors. I was tired of being told, I don't know. I was tired of saying, you need this test. I was tired of taking off of work. I was tired. I didn't.
And then for them not to even say, I'm saying you're not able to have children unless you do X, Y, and Z. They're just saying nothing. We don't know what's wrong, why you're not getting pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. So I'm sorry. I just wanted to make that clear, because I'm like, well, wait a minute. Did the doctor ever say anything? So I think, like you said, you wanted to know where the pain was from. It took 3 years to find the pain, the source of the pain, and stop. And now, not that this is a physical pain, but like an emptiness.
It was an emptiness.
And nobody can tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. So I'm sorry. So jump forward. So you guys were helping the young lady out, because that was the baby that was going to be yours.
So we did everything, and we always kept on telling her, if there's any doubt in your mind, because you have the right to change your mind. And she kept on saying no.
Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to episode 22 and listening as Al and Brandy shared their story. But we know that's not how the story ends. And I know you want to hear how it ends, right? I know I do. But you're going to have to tune in next week to episode 23 to find out. But to make sure you don't miss it, you can either go to iTunes, Blueberry, spelled Blubrry, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Podbean, or basically anywhere podcasts are hosted. Type in Tales from a Butterfly and hit that subscribe button. Also, I'm asking you guys to share the podcast on your different social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. Now, I don't know if you can share it on Snapchat, but if you can, please do. Because who knows who else may need to hear this testimony to help them get through what they're going through. And speaking of social media, you can follow me on Twitter at TS Faison, on Instagram at TS Faison, and on Facebook at Tales from a Butterfly. And guys, remember, no matter what it is you go through this week, no matter what situations you may find yourself in, no matter what current situation that has you so bound, you feel like you can't see your way out of it or move your way out of it, remember, the caterpillar probably felt that same way as he was going through the metamorphosis, but guess what? He didn't die in it, and he came out a butterfly. So fly on, my butterflies. I love you guys, and thanks for listening.